Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 17th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we meet with Matt Wilson, the CEO of Gaming for Light and Wonder, the former Scientific Games, on the reasons and thought processes behind rebranding the company. The GGB Podcast is sponsored in part by Konami Gaming, now delivering Lucky Envelope to casinos across the U.S. on its award-winning Dimension 49J cabinet. In the summer with the teenage dead for night, in the dumps with the mobs as the adolescent throws his way into his. Scientific Games has a great brand, but it was tied to the lottery industry where it began. When the company sold off its lottery division recently, the name went with it, requiring a name change and rebranding. Matt Wilson, the company's gaming CEO, explains the wisdom behind the Light and Wonder brand and how it will impact the company. He points out that without the lottery and sports betting division, which was also recently sold, Light and Wonder will be focused strictly on gaming, land-based, social, and real money iGaming. He explains how these three elements will become even stronger because of their similar mission to create great games. He spoke with me just days after the rebranding announcement at the Light and Wonder headquarters in Las Vegas. I could do some other runner in the night, blinded by the light. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. Our guest today is Matt Wilson, the gaming CEO for Light and Wonder.
Yes, it's an adjustment, isn't it?
It's going to take me a while to figure that out.
You and me both.
Yeah, it's kind of it's a great name, but it's almost a complete opposite of what Scientific Games was, you know, because it's so, you know, imaginative, and Scientific Games was, we're scientific, you know.
Yeah, almost by intention, it's... Yes, we say out of the laboratory and into a world where we create games.
Right.
There was nothing really scientific about the way we created games,
right.
If you know that.
Right.
Game designers that have these brilliant ideas, there's no there's no
very
science.
Creative.
So
why did you even consider that? What was the driving force behind a rebranding? Because it's not cheap to rebrand.
Yeah, I mean, so much has changed here in the last 2 years. We were just talking, I started March of 2020, walked straight into the pandemic, and it's been a roller coaster ever since for everyone, for every part of the industry, for every supplier and operator. But, you know, some really interesting changes happened here at Scientific Games, or now Light and Wonder.
Sure.
Probably the biggest thing was we had a new chairman and a new vice chair come in middle of last year. And that's Jamie O'Dell and Tony Korsanos, for those who are listening. And they came in and they initiated a strategic review of the business. One of the big challenges that we had over the years was we came together through acquisition. And with that came a heavy debt burden. So we had a very highly levered company with an inability to invest in kind of our core business because of the stranglehold that debt had on us. So they quickly said, we want to rapidly delever. So we ran a strategic review and we looked at all the assets in the portfolio. And if you think about Scientific Games back then, we had a very diverse portfolio across all the gaming segments.
Right.
And I guess the thesis was, wherever a player wanted to place a bet, we wanted to be there to facilitate that.
Sure.
Now, whether that was a scratch lottery ticket or a sports wager or a slot machine or a table game product, we wanted to run the full gamut. And as we went through the strategic review process, we kind of took a step back and said, what's the so what of that? Why do these businesses actually belong together? You know, we're big believers that it's hard to be truly world-class at lots of different things. You can be really, really good at a limited number of things. And so we made the bold decision to divest lottery and sports. And we thought that those two businesses would be very good as standalone organizations.
Sure.
And if you think about that, like the lottery business, the core competency there is building scratch lottery tickets and distributing those into retail locations all around the world. Couldn't be more different from building a Willy Wonka slot machine with animations and sounds and graphics. So there was not a lot of synergies in having them together. So we spun them out.
And the sales structure of a lottery is you know, it's a 10-year contract.
Yeah, it's a B2G business. Right? We sell to casinos, they sell to government. So it's a just vastly different business. So we sold them at a really great time, got a really great valuation for those two businesses, the lottery and sports, used that to pay down debt. And we're just on the doorstep of having those funds hit the bank account. Now, back to your question was, so why do we go through a rebrand? If you remember, the whole initiation of Scientific Games came from the lottery. The original Scientific Games was the lottery business. And so we sold the business. With that went the brand, and the brand had a whole lot of equity with those customers. And so that left us in a position where we had to rebrand out of necessity. Mm. And to your point, you know, sometimes, if I'm honest with you, when companies go through a rebrand without it being a necessity from a divestiture like that, feels a bit self-indulgent. It can be expensive.
Right.
But you know, in this situation, it was out of necessity. We had to rebrand. Sold the brand. So then we went on this huge process of renaming a company, which I'd never done before, which is quite kind of fascinating.
Yeah, must have been. So what was the process? I mean, did you have a list of names that you were considering?
Well, so Jamie and Barry said from the outset, like, we want to be really stakeholder led.
Right.
The last thing we wanted to do was have a bunch of executives in a boardroom coming up with names that they thought were cool and would be nice to rename the company. So we went through a stakeholder led process. We did a lot of surveys and engagement with employees. Mm-hmm. It's largely an employee facing brand. Like,
sure.
The brand for us, we want to be able to say to creatives mostly, people who make games, come and work here. We're creating an organization that is going to be set up for success for game designers.
Right.
That was the primary focus of the brand. But we also interviewed customers and, you know, asked them what's important to them. And obviously great games is important to them. So again, goes back to that employee brand. We spoke to shareholders. They said, just make a ton of money and we'll be happy. We don't care what you're called. So that was a process, really stakeholder led. And then we engaged a company called Lexicon, which is fascinating. Their whole business is built around naming companies. And so they're linguists and scientists, and they understand how the vowels should go together and
all these different things
and how it resonates with all the different populations around the world. So that was a fascinating process. So we went through the stakeholder led process of thinking about, like, what do we want the company to stand for, values and vision and these types of things. And then the linguists helped us come up with 2,700 names, and then it was
2,700.
Yeah, then it was a little bit like Guess Who, and we started to whittle them down. Now, obviously, one of the key things that goes into that is trademarking.
Right.
It's actually we came up with a lot of great names that ultimately couldn't be trademarked. So
yeah, sure. Right.
It's a small universe of names that are applicable, and we just narrowed them down through natural selection, and we ended up with Light and Wonder, which, you know, I think everyone's kind of warming to over time. It's like I think when you change a name like that, when you go from a stark contrast in scientific games to Light and Wonder, there's a little bit, oh, like, how do I think about this? But, you know, it grows on you over time is what I would say.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel already, you know, I mean, in just the few days that you've been out, have you got any negative reactions?
No, I mean, everyone, like, tries to rhyme it with things and see what it stands for.
Right.
I mean, at the end of the day, a name is a name. It's what we do with it. It's, you know, what we put into it in terms of culture and values. It's the type of products that we put out. And for shareholders, it's the results we put out under that name. You know, very quickly, the things that we do over the coming months and quarters and years will be a reflection of the brand. And that's, you know, we say that the brand is an empty vessel. You got to fill it with values and culture and performance and all these things, and that's what we intend to do.
Okay, great. So how does it change the structure of the company? Obviously sports and lottery is out of it. So do you have three basic divisions now? You have the games, the online.
I think the interesting thing is, like, the things that are left in the portfolio now are businesses that actually really fit together and belong together.
Sure.
And I think in a very competitive world, if you want to be really successful, that's what you need. You need a flywheel, you know, where all these businesses actually fit together, belong together, and can add value to each other. So what's left is the land-based gaming business, which I run, and 85% of the profits in that business come out of building great games, whether it's slot machines or VLTs or table games, really game-centric. If you think about the social casino business, SciPlay, that's all about building great games, deploying them in a social casino format. And then you have the iGaming business, which is all about slot machines for real money. So quickly you can look at that and step back and say, well, all of those businesses are built around two primary things. One is building great games. Mm-hmm. So you build a great game in the land-based world, you deploy it on a slot machine, you tweak it a little bit, you deploy it in the social casino, you tweak it a little bit again, you publish it in the iCasino. So you can see the synergies of all that. And then also platforms. You know, we've got a great systems business and table utilities business. In the land-based organization, and then we also have that in the social casino and in the iCasino. So again, back to this idea of it's hard to be truly world class at 50 things.
Sure, right.
We're just picking two or three things, and we're all in. And now we just tailor the organization around those core competencies, and hopefully it's a raging success.
Okay, so you're just focusing on the gaming, and everything else is now out of your way. So
again, back to the idea, like, we're out of lotteries, we're out of sports. The businesses that we have are all about building games. We see optionality in games in other channels as well, whether it's the casual game space or, you know, further investment in social casino in other genres. But
right.
at the end of the day, the kind of core nucleus of the companies are out, how do we build amazing world-class games across any channel or platform?
Okay, sure. So in conjunction with this name change announcement, you also announced your second quarter earnings, and you blew the estimates out of the water. What do you think that happened in the last quarter?
Yeah, I mean, we changed a lot in the last 2 years. We asked a lot of the employee base here to do things differently, and when we arrived here, Light and Wonder, not Scientific Games. 2 years ago, we refreshed the strategy and got mm-hmm. really laser focused around the areas that we want to be successful in, particularly in the gaming space, and that's the recurring revenue game ops space. And
sure.
we put a lot of effort and energy into that. The North American for sale, the Australian business, and we're just starting to see the fruits of all those changes come to fruition, and you're starting to really see the team here buy into the program and the go forward strategy. So nice to see all the effort show up on the scoreboard. It was a rough couple of years there with COVID
sure,
and
right.
things moving in every direction. But, you know, I think that quarter gave us a lot of confidence that the things that we changed were the right things, that we're moving in the right direction. Now, you know, a lot of those things are really about your business management system. How do you set the right structures
right.
up? And now it's just about how do we continue the momentum and execute. You know, we've added a lot of talent. We've got Rich Schneider on the organization
right.
now.
Mm-hmm.
He's starting to have his fingerprints all over the portfolio. So, yeah, I just think it's all the hard work the team did over the last 2 years starting to show up on the scoreboard, which is encouraging.
Sure, no question about that. So under your umbrella here, you've got three brands. You have the Bally, WMS, and Shufflemaster brand. Are they going to still exist, or are you going to make it all light and
Yeah, we put a lot of thought and effort into that, and I guess where we landed on that was those brands that you mentioned were really B2B brands.
Right.
So Shuffle...
Mm-hmm.
Bally, WMS, these are brands that our customers knew, but
right.
players were really didn't have a huge affinity
sure.
for. The B2C brands are the game brands, so
right.
the 88 Fortunes and the
mm-hmm.
Monopolies and the Wonkas and the Blazing Sevens, and you know the list goes on. So they're really the brands that we want to put a lot of energy into,
mm-hmm.
the things that matter to our players, because ultimately our players are the ones that drive the performance
sure,
of the games.
Right,
they're
right.
a proxy for our customers' success. So, yeah, you'll start to see WMS, Bally, Shufflemaster fade into the
mm-hmm.
rearview mirror. We'll always pay homage to where those brands came from and
sure.
the success and the things that drove them. But in terms of, you know, where we're putting our energy now, it's really around making Light and Wonder the B2B brand
sure.
and then really emphasizing those game brands with our players.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So would you like your players to know this is a Light and Wonder game, that's something that's really identifiable?
Yeah, it'll start to show up on our cabinets. It'll
mm-hmm.
show up on our digital lobbies and those types of things. So we'll start to get in front of players again. But I think most of the joy for players comes in those brands that they play on a regular basis,
mm-hmm.
Dancing Drums and 88 Fortnite, these types of things. So we'll put a lot of effort into that. We'll also kind of fill the vessel with Light and Wonder and make sure it's a brand that players, when they see that, they know they're going to get a great gaming experience.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Well, you've come out with some great cabinets over the past
yeah.
years. It's probably one of the reasons you know you've had that success in the last quarter.
Mm.
Is that going to continue to grow though? Different cabinet brands you're going to bring out?
Yeah. So we think about this like in a real cyclical approach. So we launched the first thing we launched was the Cascada Portrait. Then
right.
we came out with the Mural. Now we're coming out with a dual screen Cascada, dual screen 27-inch. It actually launches in 2 weeks. You'll
okay.
see the first games live in the US at Great, and you'll see them live in Australia as well. First time we've gone kind of international with a
okay.
combined launch. We have a new stepper that we showed at G2E. It comes second half of next year. And then it's just about, like, on a very frequent basis, having a new piece of hardware to introduce to our customer base and to our players, and just give us that canvas for our game designers to go and create games on really outstanding bits of hardware.
Sure.
We always think that content is queen, and it's a thing that really drives
right.
the success of the company, but you need amazing hardware for them to paint their
yeah, especially their pictures on. Especially
yeah.
these days when there's so many different things out there. You know, you really
yeah,
need
I think
to stand
consumers
out, you
know? Like in their homes, they've got great consumer electronics
right.
in their house, so
mm-hmm.
they expect a certain level of you know, polish, with whether it's sound or graphics, animation, those kinds of things. So you
right.
have to meet them where their demands are.
Okay. So, and I imagine you have some great content in the pipeline as well. Anything that you can reveal right now? Or
we've done a lot of work with, like, reinvigorating our core brands.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they resonate with players. You in a sea of I mean, there's a lot of games that are made every year. It's right. probably somewhere in the vicinity of probably 500 slot games are made mm-hmm. in the land-based business, and then many more online. So how do you cut through? How do you be different? And I think it comes back to those brands that we've invested in, that we've acquired over time, that have a rich history. When players walk up to them, they know exactly what they're going to get. So right. with this new cabinet launch, you'll see Locket Link and Huff and Puff and 88 Fortunes and just all these great brands from the past. We're going mm-hmm. to bring them back, make them contemporary, you know, add in some new features, and then we'll sprinkle in some innovation around there. We're working on some pretty interesting licenses at the moment, which we'll show later in this year. But yeah, I think the team's reinvigorated. We've got, you know, amazing talent here that's been here a long time, that has a lot of history and heritage here. We've got new talent that's come in that kind of supplement that as well. So sure. it's all of that coming together to raise the bar to put out outstanding products for our customers.
Okay, great.
Inspired by the gift-giving tradition of the red envelope, Konami's Lucky Envelope Premium Slot Series is bringing mystery cash prizes to players. Guests can open up their luck with mystery jackpot events, instant symbol-driven credit prizes, and more. See the video and download the brochure by visiting KonamiGaming.com/Lucky Envelope. And now back to our podcast.
So how do you coordinate with the iGaming side of the business? You know, a lot of the people who play online play those games because yeah. they played them in the casino before. And also vice versa, people who play online want to find those games in the casino. I mean, how do you coordinate?
Yeah, this is a huge opportunity for us. And I guess the Scientific Games way of doing things was almost like a holding company where all these different business, we call them divisions, which is exactly what they were. They were divided right. and segregated. Right. Worked in their own way, very independently, mm-hmm. and we shared some IP and some content, but we never really did it in a coordinated way. So we saw this when we divested those two assets and we made it all about games, and then we've got this really simple model of build great games, publish them in land-based, publish them in social casino, publish them in iCasino. We saw a great opportunity to align our product planning processes and come together. We actually have a big, we call them Best Games Workshops next week, where mm-hmm. we've got designers coming in from social casino, from iCasino, from land-based, to share our portfolio, to pitch new concepts. So we're doing that in a really coordinated way now, which we hadn't done historically. So I think you'll see the fruits of that, those endeavors show up in the portfolio over the coming years. And you know, that's how we want to operate going forward. We're one company with one mission and vision.
Right.
We operate together. We drive those synergies, you know, in a very competitive marketplace. You have to do that. And I think we do have a very competitive advantage. The fact there's no provider in the world that has what we have. The breadth of portfolio in land-based, mm-hmm. the social casino aspect, there's really just us and Aristocrat who have right. social casino now. And then we have the market leading position in iCasino. So mm-hmm. there's insights there that we can drive. There's, you know, products that we can take across those channels. There's just a great opportunity in front of us. We have to extract that opportunity, but we're committed to doing that, and we're working much more closely together.
Okay, great. So SciPlay is structured, there's other shareholders that yeah. are just SciPlay. Are you going to acquire those shares back, or how's that going to work?
Yeah, you probably followed that in the media, that we had an offer in to SciPlay mm-hmm. some months ago.
Right.
And, you know, they're an independent company. They're right. NASDAQ listed. So, negotiations fell over. Never say never. We might get back to a position where there's an opportunity to buy that piece out and bring mm-hmm. them back in-house. But, you know, we've really committed to, and we made this point last week or earlier this week on the earnings calls, that we want to be really disciplined around M&A. We want to make sure that when we spend shareholders' money, because it is theirs, mm-hmm. that we spend it in a way that drives a great ROI. So, you know, a dollar of investment, whether it's organic or M&A or buying back social casino, we have to look at that across the spectrum and say, what's the best use of shareholder funds, and just be very thoughtful and deliberate about the way we deploy our capital. We also announced early this week a share buyback, which was well received by the market.
Right.
So again, just being very disciplined and making sure, you know, we have a lot of money coming in the door from these divestitures, and we right. want to make sure that we're spending it effectively to drive long-term growth.
Okay, great. So how about systems and platforms, another yeah. strength of your company? Is that going to continue to evolve?
Yeah, so I mean, we think there's a huge opportunity, particularly in the Americas, as our worlds converge, right? So I guess the way iCasino is getting rolled out across the Americas, 6 states live now, is it's through our operator partners. There's no channel conflict. We're enabling their success. And so it used to be systems was all about, how do I understand a player P&L for players that play in my bricks and mortar casino. So how much are you playing on the tables, in our right. restaurants, on the slot machines? How much bonusing do I need to do to effectively provide you with the right amount of reinvestment? Now the paradigm has shifted, because now you have an online sports betting platform. Most right. casinos do, mm-hmm. or will have at some right. point. They'll have an iCasino business. So now it's about the player 360. So I know everything you do in my building, but now I also need to know what are you spending online, on the sports betting platform, on the iCasino platform. So our system, we're rapidly developing it to make sure that we have that player 360 degree perspective. And we have a really unique position, because we have 50% of the systems business through the right. Bally legacy, mm-hmm. Which we're investing in. And then we also have the market leading PAM, which is a player account management system
right.
in the online world. So there's an obvious opportunity to stitch those two things together to provide a really eloquent solution for operators to understand Roger's total spend across all these channels. Sure. And also, how do you incentivize that cross-channel play? So you might be an avid slot player in the bricks and mortar, you might be playing in my sports betting, but you've never played slots in my iCasino. So mm-hmm. how do I provide you with an offer
right.
to play in iCasino to maximize, optimize that player spend across the channels?
Great. Are you going to be able to capture their non-gaming spend too in yeah. a casino, the restaurants and spas and things like that?
Yeah, all of that. And I think this is really where I think cashless is a Trojan horse. Cashless is such a buzzword right. in the marketplace right now. And if we're really honest with ourselves, we're seeing low adoption rates in the marketplace today
exactly
with players mm-hmm. because the use case is pretty limited. They're so used to playing with cash on gaming floors. Right. There's ATMs everywhere. So how do you provide a solution that actually motivates them to want to download the app and start mm-hmm. to spend through this mechanism? And I think it's that convergence and that loyalty and providing them offers and these types of things that is really going to drive right. The business forward. And everyone in the industry goes back to the Starbucks app as an, right. mm-hmm. as an analogy, right? And so it's not that much simpler to transact in Starbucks with the app than it is with a credit card.
Right.
But you want to do it through the app because you get all the bonusing,
right.
the mm-hmm. loyalty, the offers, and those types of things. So that is really where I see cashless being a Trojan horse to open up this digital conversation with the consumer. So we go away from free play in your mailbox or in your email to
right.
An eloquent solution where we're driving offers straight to your mobile device in your pocket, and really, again, optimizing the total spend of that player.
Okay. So are you interested in developing a cashless module for your system, or would you you consider purchasing one of the existing ones?
Well, so there's two sides of that equation, right? So there's what we call the last mile. So I guess the app is like the delineator. So how do you get money from the app onto the slot machine?
Right.
Obviously, that system is what we've been providing for years. So we own 50% of all the hardware on gaming floors in right. North America, across the board. So we own that part of the space. The other side of the equation is the fintech side. So how do right. you get money into the app,
mm-hmm.
which hasn't been an area that we've focused on. There's companies that, back to the idea that you can only be world-class at a limited number of things. There's companies out there who have been in that space for decades.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so that's their rightful space to be. We look at it from time to time and think, is there a way for us to get into that space?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of pulls against this idea that we want to be really narrowly focused right. around right. building great games. Mm-hmm. Not to say we'll never do it, but there's probably companies that are better positioned for that fintech side of the equation.
Sure.
It's a totally different business. Same customer, but totally, totally different business. And there's lots of providers out there in the space. Our position at the moment is freedom of choice. So whoever you want to choose
right.
as an operator, we'll be there to integrate them.
Okay.
And we'll help you with the app itself. And then also, how do we drive loyalty around that whole program is where we want to focus our energy.
Great, great. Well, the last thing we haven't talked about is the table game section. A few iterations ago with the company, you purchased Shuffle Master.
Yes.
And it's still the main table game provider in the world, really. So how is that going to fold into this light and wonder?
Yeah, I think it fits concept. Nicely. We obviously have Roger Snow, who is the OG
sure,
of the table
right.
games business. So we're thrilled
right.
to have him leading that for us. He's come up some amazing games over the years. He knows that segment better than anyone in the
sure.
world, so fortunate to have him leading the charge there. And we also see an opportunity. Live dealer is a space in
right.
the iCasino mm-hmm. world that's really starting to light a fire. We bought a company called Authentic, which
mm-hmm.
has all the platforms. We have the brands and the know-how to kind
right.
of bring table games to life, and so that's definitely something that's on our roadmap. We've got Roger dreaming up some great ideas for games, for PTG games down the line. So still a very important part of our business. you know, we're a major player in that space. We tend to be for a long time. And with Roger at the helm, we feel pretty good about that.
Okay, great, great. Well, Matt, this is an exciting time for your company. Brand new name, brand new structure. And I think you know, just looking at the games you've developed over the past couple of years and the hardware as well, I mean, you're positioning yourself in a really good place.
Yeah, great momentum. And thanks to the employee base. You know, it's been a hard couple of years with COVID for everyone and our employees as well. But starting to see those results showing up on the scoreboard gives us a lot of confidence in the strategy and the future direction of the company.
Great. Well, next time maybe we can sit down with Jamie O'Dell and hear about his brainchild. I mean, he's really been the driver of this since he came over after working with Aristocrat all those years, you know. And, you know, I'm sure you enjoy working with him as well.
Yeah, he's an amazing leader. You know, one of the major reasons that I'm here. And he knows the space well. You know, he's a driving force behind the strategy alongside Barry Cottle. And, you know, a lot of people have followed him here. And for all the right reasons, he's a great leader and a guy that is easy to work for, that's for sure.
No question. Well, congratulations on the name change, and we wish you luck in the future. So thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, pleasure. Thanks for coming out. Really appreciate it.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast. And thanks again to Konami Gaming. Check out KonamiGaming.com/LuckyEnvelope for a look at the newest original series on Dimension 49J. To learn more about branding in the gaming industry, visit GGBMagazine.com. Subscribe to GGB News to get all the news of the gaming industry delivered to your desktop every Monday morning. Sign up at GGBNews.com and use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast. She got down, but she never got tired. She's gonna make it through.